This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. During this hour, about 327 people will be added to the U.S. population. Some people are born, some die, some move into the country, others move out. But it all works out to, on average, one additional person in the U.S. every 11 seconds or so. And with every person, the U.S. inches closer to a milestone, 300 million. The Census Bureau estimates that the nation will hit that milestone next Tuesday around 7:46 a.m. Eastern Time, give or take. Your mileage may vary. Joining me now to talk about who all these people are is Dr. Linda Jacobson. She's the Director of Domestic Programs at the Population Reference Bureau in Washington, and she joins us from our NPR studios there. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
How do we know so precisely when that's going to happen?
Well, truthfully, we don't know precisely when it's going to happen. The Census Bureau's population clock is really an estimate based on approximately how many births and deaths and in-migrants and out-migrants occur every second. But it's really not wired into all the hospitals in the country where each birth occurs, nor are there people stationed along the border counting each and every person who crosses in and crosses out of the United States. So we don't really know precisely, but it's a good estimate.
So there's no gift going to be given out to that 300 millionth person or something. Or we may be. Who knows?
Well, I would not go that far because I think there may be many journalists like Life magazine back in 1967 who are very eager to select the 300 millionth American.
No kidding. Let's talk about who they are. Are these 300 million people whom we think they are?
Well, I don't know if they're whom everyone thinks they are, but I think it's important to point out that the U.S. population has changed in some very significant ways since we reached 200 million. We've become older. We've gotten more diverse, not only in terms of our race and ethnicity, but also in the share of us who are immigrants, who were born in some country outside the United States.
Mm-hmm. One of the issues we hear a lot about with baby boomers moving up in age is the aging population of us, that we're going to be having more older people than younger people.
Well, that's true. But one of the really interesting facts that I think is often overlooked with our, and I do think it's appropriate, focus on the burgeoning elderly population is the fact that children will still outnumber the elderly every year between now and 2050. And that's true even in 2030, when the last of the baby boomers move into the retirement ages of 65 plus.
So that's sort of a misconception then.
Well, I don't know if it's a misconception so much as people are so focused on the fact that our share of the population who's elderly will increase from 12% today all the way up to 20% in 2030. And that's a very substantial increase, that they kind of fail to look at the fact that children will still make up 24% of the population throughout this time period.
And speaking of kids, you had a really interesting statistic about how poor a lot of these kids are going to be.
Well, and that's very tied to the changing racial and ethnic diversity of the child population. So I think it's helpful to point that out first. Right now in the United States, almost half of all children less than five are members of a racial or ethnic minority. And by the time we get to 2030 or just after that, half of all children, that means everyone who's under the age of 18, will be members of a racial and ethnic minority. And that's in sharp contrast, of course, to the population age 65 plus, who will remain a predominantly white, non-Hispanic group even through 2050. But what a lot of people may not be aware of is the fact that the poverty rates for the elderly and for children have really diverged since the late 1960s, when we reached 200 million in the U.S. And back in 1967, the poverty rates among the elderly were up closer to 30%, whereas for children, they were down around 17%. Since that time, the poverty rates for the older population have dropped dramatically down to a level of only about 10% today, whereas the poverty rates for children overall have actually increased. So today, about 18% of all children live in poverty.
So we have more kids living in poverty than senior citizens.
And I'm certainly not advocating that it's more important to increase the number of elderly who live in poverty. I think the point is just to recognize that more children live in poverty. And to go back to this issue you raised about differences among children in poverty rates, it's also the case that the poverty rates among minority children are much higher than those among white children. So, for example, 35% of all African American children live in poverty today, and it's about 28% of Hispanic children, compared to only 10% for non-Hispanic whites. So if we think about the increasing diversity of the child population, and we look at these differentials in poverty rates, then I think we have to ask the question, does this imply then, if we do nothing in the United States to address these differentials, that a larger and larger share of our children will be growing up at an economic disadvantage?
Can you judge in the last 100 years since, let's say since 1915, are we better off now? Do people consider themselves better off now than they did their parents or grandparents?
You know, I think that really varies depending on which generation you ask that question. I think it's certainly the case that baby boomers would describe themselves as being better off than their parents, but there's some evidence that would suggest that young adults today, growing up, especially the younger adults who were born to the older baby boomers, have grown up relatively well off and don't see their prospects as being as bright. So there is this question of whether or not they consider themselves to be relatively better off. And I think that's part of the phenomenon we've seen in the last few decades of the boomerang children. So children who finish school but then move back in with their parents.
Right. One of the big issues right now, as you know, is immigration. Can you tell us about how immigration trends have changed over the last 100 years? Are we at a high point of immigration like it appears to be?
Well, it's certainly the case, Ira, that the number of people in the United States today who were born abroad is higher than it's ever been. There are about 36 million people who are foreign-born in the U.S. today. But what many people don't recognize is that only represents about 12% of the total U.S. population. And so the share foreign-born today is actually lower than it was for all the years between 1860 and 1920, when the share was higher and closer to around 15%. I think the reason that the increase seems so dramatic is because back in 1970, so around the time we reached 200 million, the share foreign-born was at a real low. It was only about 5%. So I think it's that increase between 5% and 12% today that's really put it on the radar screen of most Americans.
Mm-hmm. What I find interesting in looking at your statistics for 2006 versus 67 and 1967, 1915, are some of the comparisons about the costs of things. And one thing that really struck me on that list was the price of milk. In 2006, the price of milk is $3 a gallon. In 1915, it was 36 cents a gallon, but in present dollars, it was $7.22 a gallon. Wow.
Right. And I can't take credit for those statistics. Those are actually from the U.S. Census Bureau.
Mm-hmm. But we seem to think that milk prices and these other prices are so expensive, but they were much more, I guess, compared to what everything else was, what cost to live, much cheaper, much more expensive back then.
Right.
Tell us about, can we say who the 300th person will be? Will it be, do you think, someone who's being born or someone entering the border from Canada or Mexico? Or who is most likely that person to be?
Well, if I knew the actual answer to that question, I think I would be in Vegas instead of in the studio talking with you today. But let me just say this. I know there's been lots of discussion in the media of late about how the 300 millionth American is most likely to be an Hispanic male born in Los Angeles and et cetera. But being a demographer, if I take a step back and I look at these sheer numbers, the fact is that the number of births in the U.S. is greater every year than the number of immigrants. And if we look at who is having births, the fact is that the over half, so the majority of births, are still to white, non-Hispanic women in the U.S. So if I were a betting person, I would say the statistics indicate that it's most likely to be a birth to a non-Hispanic white woman. But I would quickly add that just because that's the case, I don't think that should detract from the obvious fact that, of course, Hispanics are the fastest growing segment in the U.S. population.
What other kinds of changes have we seen in a nation since that 200 millionth in 1967? Radical changes? Family structure, perhaps?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the changes that has been evolving across this time period that many people have not kept their eye on as closely as they have the changes in race and ethnic diversity. But the fact of the matter is that back in 1967, about 40% of all our households in the U.S. had married couples with children in them. Today, that share is down to just over a fifth, so around 20%. That's quite a dramatic decrease in just 39 years. And what's accompanied that is a very substantial increase in the share of households that consist of one person living alone. And there are really two trends that underlie that increase in living alone. One, of course, is young adults moving out on their own. And since first marriage, or the age at first marriage, has been increasing across this time period, then more of them are living alone. But a more important component or share of that increase has to do with older persons who are living alone. So as the share of our total population that 65 plus increases, the share of households that consist of one person living alone will likely also continue to increase.
Well, we've run out of time. I wish we could talk some more. I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us, Linda Jacobson.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed being here.
And so what do you say? Happy 300 millionth? Is that the right thing? I guess so.
Absolutely.
All right. Happy 300 millionth to you. Dr. Linda Jacobson is Director of the Domestic Programs at the Population Reference Bureau in Washington, D.C. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk about water issues, shortages of water just about everywhere. We'll talk about it, what to do about it. Stay with us. We'll get your views. Don't go away.